Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Fringe. Only on the Vibe Network. Every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Fringe. I hope you guys are all having a great evening tonight. Tonight we are going to be discussing Rendlesham Forest Incident. And if you don't know what that is, back in the 1980s, around in late December, there were a series of reported sightings of unexplained lights near Rendlesham Forest in Suffolk, England, which had been linked with claims of UFO landings. The events occurred just outside of Woodbridge, which was used at the time for the U.S. Air Force USAF personnel, including Deputy Base Commander Lieutenant Colonel Charles L. Holt, who claimed to see the things he described as a UFO sighting. And tonight we're going to be discussing everything to do with that, anything to do with UFOs that you want to call in on and discuss with us. Our call-in number is 516-387-1922. And as always, I have my amazing, wonderful co-host, Ryan Nemec. And he's been doing some heavy duty digging on the internet to find information for the show tonight to bring to you, to share things that might not have been known up to this point. So sit down with your listening ears on.
Go ahead.
Let's just sit with your listening ears on, and we're going to let Ryan go ahead here and get started explaining the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Well, the whole thing with the Rendlesham Forest incident, as it's known as, the one thing that I did notice is that it's considered the UK's most famous UFO incident, except there's no real evidence. And it was like, okay, the one thing that I did find out was the Forestry Commission in 2005, in that county, I don't really know what it's called in the UK, commissioned funds to create a UFO trail, which was like a sightseer kind of thing. And it was like, but they used lottery funds. And I was like, okay, why would they use lottery funds? Of all things.
Right.
That seems a little fishy to me. And
I came across that through to the UFO trail that they have there where this incident happened.
Yeah.
They're
gonna use lottery funds. It's like, okay, somebody's either trying to make bucks or it just seemed weird. And, you know, for the most part, people have said that they've seen, you know, actual, like, flying UFOs, if you will. But then I've heard conflicting to say, no, we never saw that. We only saw the colored orbs, which I wanted to ask you about because colored orbs could mean something spiritual.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, go ahead, because I'm actually curious about this.
Well, as Lieutenant Holt said, they had accused him of seeing the lights from the lighthouses, and that's what they told him they were. You know, that's what he was seeing. That's what they were. And he's like, "No, that's not what I saw. This thing was going in between trees, and it seemed to be operated by something intelligent." So they tried to convince him that what he was seeing was, you know, had a perfectly logical explanation. And to this day, he still argues with him that what he saw was a UFO.
Well, and then the other thing that has to go along with that is, considering he was a cop, he had a cop car. So I guess in the UK they use red and blue lights on top of the car just like we do, but I'm not sure, and I don't really want to find out, you know, for bad reasons. But they said that the orbs didn't project any light onto the surrounding objects, like a tree or
right.
a bush or anything like that. And it's like, okay, that's kind of weird. And I was like,
right,
oh,
they were self-contained almost.
Yeah, exactly. And in the other thing was is that there was no other like UFOs found. Like, it wasn't like, okay, one crashed in the ground, we found it, and we just hit it. No, they didn't
find anything.
And it's like,
This wasn't like the true Roswell, where they supposedly had wreckage. They supposedly had, quote unquote, a body. This wasn't like that.
No, it wasn't at all. And that's what, and the other thing was like, okay, it's either a hoax or it's that natural gas incident. And it was like, yeah, but usually there's like at least a little bit of like incandescent light that goes around it, and you can see things. This had nothing. And it's like, okay, either this guy got high or, you know, or he's telling the absolute truth.
Yeah, I did find a couple of quotes from people that were on the scene that night, you know, that were in the forest when this occurred. And one of them was Nick Pope, for the Ministry of Defense employee. He worked there from 1985 to 2006. And what he stated was, this was not some vague lights in the sky sighting. The UFO actually landed.
Hmm.
And then we had Sergeant Adrian, I think it's Bushtinza, and he was a security police commander who investigated the scene at the time. And he said when he arrived at the scene, it was going in and out through the trees, and at one stage it was hovering in one place.
Now, the other thing that I'm curious about, I don't, and you might have found something on this, but I was trying to dig up, how big were the orbs?
They never really said,
like
but
the size
supposedly...
Of like, no, go ahead. I was thinking like the size of
yeah,
a basketball.
I don't think they were small. Yeah, I don't think they were small. I think they were, you know, like you said, you know, like the size of a soccer ball or bigger, I think, based on what I've seen. And there was also, this was taken from the HALT tape recorded on December 27th, 1990, by the United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Charles HALT. And we will be listening to that recording, or at least a part of it. It is a bit long, so I cut it down, shortened the version, so we're not listening to that for a good part of the show. But it gives you the idea what they were feeling, what they felt that night. But I'm going to go ahead and quote this first. It says, okay, we were looking at the thing. We're probably 200 or 300 yards away. It looks like an eye winking at you. And the flash is so bright to the star scope that it almost burns your eyes. So that does not sound, you know, like, to me, that doesn't sound like something coming, a reflection off a lighthouse beam to me.
No, me either.
What are some of the other things that you found?
The other thing that I found is, like, HALT wrote a book called The HALT Perspective, which is something that he still stands by. And this entire, I don't know, incident, if you will, was featured on Unsolved Mysteries, Spy Channel, the History Channel, and they've all looked into it, and they couldn't figure out an exact answer. But they said this guy sticks to his story, like, he swears by it to this day. And it's like, oh, well, you know, for somebody to hold a story that long, and to be a cop, he saw something.
Yeah, he does not deviate from his original story. He doesn't change the facts even a little bit. I agree with you on that.
I can kind of buy the story of the red, blue, and lights that were coming from a cop car, but why didn't they reflect? And it's like, okay, well,
exactly.
That's a little bit different. Yeah, and it's like, okay,
yeah, there,
could it be an... Go ahead.
Oh, finish here. We're so excited we're talking to each other tonight. But go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
It really could be one of those atmospheric phenomenons where it's just a little gas bubble add up. And I don't really buy that.
Yeah. Well, for one, gas bubbles don't hover. They're not metallic. They're not metallic. This thing they were saying had a metallic look to it. Mm. So, you know, what it is with anything related to extraterrestrials or unidentified flying objects, they don't want us to know. So they throw so much false information on top of the facts that we get lost.
Mm, that's fair enough. I mean, could it be something as simple as, you know, like they were sending down little, say a drone-like thing to go and just, you know, let's look around and see what's what, and that's what the guy saw.
Ability?
And I was getting a little bit out there with that one, but that kind of crossed my mind.
Right. Yeah. I also found a quote. One of these men, John Burroughs, accompanied by his supervisor and one other individual, went to investigate the red, blue, orange, and white lights that you mentioned. In his subsequent witness statement, I can't talk tonight for some reason, published in 1981, Burroughs explained, as we went down the East Gate Road and the road that leads into the forest, the lights were moving back and they appeared to stop in a bunch of trees. Also, the woods lit up and you could hear the farm animals making a lot of noises. And there was a lot of movement in the woods. All three of us hit the ground, and whatever it was started moving back towards the open field. We got up to a fence that separated the trees from the open field, and you could see the lights down by a farmer's house. We climbed over the fence and started walking toward the red, blue lights, and then they just disappeared. And Jim Peniston, who accompanied Burroughs into the Rendlesham Forest on December 26, claims to have encountered a craft covered in hieroglyphic... You say that word for me. That's one of those words I can't say.
Hieroglyphic.
Thank you. Like characters. There's some words people can't say. It's one of mine. I estimated it to be about 3 meters tall and about 3 meters wide at the base. Now, this does not sound like a drone. And I don't even know if they had drone technology back in the 80s. Unless it was, you know, experimental, which is possible. Pennington later explained no landing gear. Yeah. Yep. No landing gear was apparent, but it seemed like she was on fixed legs. I moved a little closer. I had already taken about 36 pictures on my roll of film. I walked around the craft, and finally I walked up to the craft. I noticed the fabric of the shell was smooth, opaque, and black glass. Burroughs did not recall this. Indentations on the forest floor, as well as the damage to the trees in the area where the lights had been spotted, were found the following morning. However, radiation levels recorded at the site of the indentations was unusually high. So take that as you will.
Yeah, well, when we start getting into the Area 51 stuff, oh, yeah, there's all kinds of stories that I dug up, and it's like, oh, boy. Yeah, and it sounds pretty much exactly like you said, and I'll get into that later on. But this whole Rendlesham thing, it's like, it sounds like a cover up. It really does.
But they're hiding something.
And then you start to question. Okay, who covered it up? Was it their government? Was it our government? Was it somebody else? It's like, hmm.
My theory is it was our government because it was our base. It was probably things that we were testing.
Reverse
and nobody
technology.
Was supposed to be out there and nobody was supposed to see it. Yes, our technology. And I don't think anybody was supposed to be out there that night. I don't think anybody was supposed to see it.
And of course
they're going to cover it up.
Well, did this guy, Holt, did he happen to, like, I don't know, did he get any kind of, let's say, an illness, a radiation poisoning or anything like that? because I couldn't find any of that on him.
Right. He did suffer and still suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't? But I didn't really find anything where he suffered any ill effects, like health-wise. No, I didn't find that either.
Okay. Because, I've got stuff from, there was some of the residents right around Area 51 that they had major, major radiation poisoning and burns. And we can get into that a little bit. But I was curious because I couldn't find anything on this Halt guy as far as what he had. I mean, post-traumatic stress syndrome, yeah, of course. I mean, you basically came across a UFO. So, I was really interested in that.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything. I mean, I watched a video of him in 2017, and he looks fine. I mean, he was very coherent, very clear, very crisp. Yes, he looked. I mean, he's much, much older, obviously. But he's still a real together guy, and knows exactly what he's still sticking to the same story. Has not deviated.
Yeah, and that's kind of amazing because usually you'll get like a little twinge of somebody going, "Oh no!" And by the way, there was a purple cow in the field, and it's like, "What the hell? Okay, you're fake." You know,
they can't remember.
His story.
It's hard to remember a lie.
Time. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, but
he did.
But I mean, if that's burned into his head, then you know, it's true.
Well, that's because it's a memory,
mm-hmm.
not a story.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then that leads us into the whole Area 51. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now, there's a whole lot going on here with Area 51. Now, the stories that initially happened were, okay, something crashed, and they went, no, it was a weather balloon. And it's like, yeah,
right.
And then you had some of the people who lived right there at the time that they went out there and they actually grabbed some of the pieces of this spacecraft that hit. And,
right.
You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, they started getting these weird radiation burns, and the one guy got, like, elephantitis of his hands, and there was, like, weird, like hieroglyphics on the actual metal itself. And
again with that.
Then all of a sudden,
that's the same thing they had in the forest incident with those
mm-hmm.
hieroglyphics. I can't say Egyptian symbols. We'll just go with that. But, they had Egyptian symbols on them. Just so it's the same thing. Are these the same aliens?
Who knows? I mean, we need a ufologist to help us with that one. But, no. But then,
and we tried. We tried to get one.
Yeah. Oh, well. They started, you know, getting all these weird things, and then, like, some of the soldiers that were like, no, you can't keep this, then they were getting sick. And, you know, it's like, then all of a sudden, Area 51 became a quite different area. And it started out with no EPA standards, where way that they would test anything, all that stuff would blow out into the desert, and nobody was allowed out there.
Right.
And it's like, okay, it means that they're testing stuff, and it could just be military at this point, and that's where we're going to head to hopefully next. It turned into like a tourist destination, and it's like, okay, it's a tourist destination.
It really has.
And so where did they take all this stuff, you know? And that's like, okay.
Right.
This is abstraction for what they were actually doing. It was like, okay, let's have everybody look over here to the left. By the way, we're going to do all the secret stuff to the right. Kind of that idea.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And the...
as close as people are getting to Area 51 now, if there was something there that could change our perception of reality, you wouldn't get that close. Nobody would get that close. They'd be dead before they got that close.
No, but the thing is now you've
got Google Maps. So obviously whatever was there, as you said, isn't there anymore. It's a as you said, it's become a tourist attraction to keep people thinking, oh, I'm going to sneak up here and I'm going to, you know, look behind this fence and maybe I'll see something. When
no,
in all actuality...
You know, there's probably military operations still going on there, and they probably test, like,
oh,
I don't
sure.
know, here's our new jet fighter or something like that. But as
right.
far as, like, anything that is the perception and, like, the legend of Area 51, that stuff's long gone.
Right, the Roswell, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Incident, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they moved all that stuff elsewhere.
Well,
you know, and there's a theory...
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a theory that a lot of the technology we have nowadays, you know, like cell phones and, you know, microchips and all the things that we have, we got that stuff. If you think about it, how fast we figured all that out.
Oh,
we went from computers that took up we went from computers that took up entire rooms to carrying a computer in our hand.
Mm-hmm.
In a very short amount of time as far as evolution of our species compared to how long it took us to develop other things. That came about really quickly. I mean,
oh, yeah, it came up
a cell phone,
like, super
think about,
quick. It's
think
like,
about
all right,
the,
we can, you can pay your bills, you can watch porn, you can do anything from your phone, you can control your car. It doesn't matter what you want to do, you can actually do it from your phone. And it's kind of nuts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, considering that, you know, back in even the 80s, I mean, computers took up entire rooms. They were huge. How
mm-hmm.
did we get here so fast?
Well, the one thing that I always look at is, remember the old movie War Games with Matthew Broderick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do.
Imagine that, and for those of you youngins or people who haven't seen it, okay, the computer was the size of half of my house, and it, you know, and that's what, you know, it did to do whatever it did. And now it's like, okay, I'm holding a phone that's like less than the size of a pack of cigarettes, and I can do the exact same thing. You know, that's quite the
right.
step.
For the short amount of time. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
How did we get
so,
there?
The other one is, okay, with Area 51. Okay, and I think they put on a little bit of a show because when you try to go to Area 51, which I did once, immediately, as soon
mm-hmm.
as you get to some certain point, yeah, it's when the Jeeps and the 4x4s come out, and they're watching you, and they know you're there. And it's like, all right, we'll just scare these guys off, and everything's cool. Usually you run because, you know, the last thing you want is to be trapped in Area 51 because you're going to disappear. But,
right.
The,
but that's the point I was making, is people get way too close.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
top secret as we think it is, they wouldn't even let us that close. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I mean, I had to go to retirement. Party for my uncle who was a career military, and it was out at Selfridge.
Uh-huh.
And to get in there, it was like, oh man, you know, they've got guys with M16s and, you know, body armor and stuff. And it's like, no, I'm actually supposed to be here. I'm on a list. And they had let me in. It's like, well, you get something like, you know, Area 51, that's kind of like a little more heavy duty. So, yeah. But,
yeah.
No, the other one that I dug up was the Denver airport, and
mm-hmm. okay.
oh yeah, Yeah, the whole thing with the Denver airport, because I had family that lived in Denver for, I don't know, 20 years or something. And they were like, and one of the guys was a contractor there. And he was like, you wouldn't believe the stuff they're doing here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Why? What? You know, what's going on? And he said, one, it's $2 billion over budget. It's taken 16 months longer than it ever should have taken. And he was just a regular, like, maintenance guy, like drywall and, you know, putting in plumbing and stuff like that, just a regular average Joe.
Right.
And he took a wrong turn, and he made it down underneath the airport, and all of a sudden there was armed guards, and I'm like, what are you doing down here? They were like, turn around right now.
Wow.
It was like, whoa, huh? Yeah. And there's a couple
this
of different
airport.
Theories.
Why can't I be down here? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, hey, I'm just a worker. And, there's a big theory going on that Denver actually turned into the real Area 51. Like, that's where they moved everything. And they moved everything down there. And that's all the top secret, super secret stuff is supposed to be. And he said the stuff that I saw was crazy. And I'm like, what do you mean crazy? And he was like, I saw technology that I've never seen before, and they had walls that were 4 feet thick. I'm like, what? And he was like, and there's some kind of train.
Wow.
I'm like, train? What are you talking about, train? Well, after
an
more digging online. What's that?
An underground train.
Yeah, underground train. And apparently...
Yeah.
There is a secret train that runs from Washington, D.C. to Denver, so in case anything like a nuclear bomb goes off, they can just, like, rush everybody right over to this place, and that's where they'll live. That's the theory. I don't know. I feel crazy, but still. But, yeah, it's just a gigantic bunker.
Right. I mean, for it to get out, there's got to be a story somewhere. You know, there's got to be some kind of backing behind it, some kind of truth. To that, otherwise people wouldn't say that.
Well, and then go ahead.
Go ahead. No, finish your thought, because I'm going to start the clip
in
a second.
Why is the Denver airport the second largest in the world?
No idea.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Would it be?
Yeah, and that's what's crazy about the whole thing.
It's all tied together, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do here is go ahead and start playing these clips. I'm going to start with a clip from 1980. I can't reveal my source where I got this clip, but I'm going to go ahead and play this clip for you. And again, this is from 1980, and this is supposedly recorded at the scene. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I was told. I'm going to go ahead and play this, and you guys kind of listen and decide for yourselves. It takes a second to get started, by the way. I'm trying to build up our suspense. They really want us to want this. I did push. I pushed the button.
Directly overhead, one can see an opening in the trees plus some freshly broken pine branches on the ground underneath. Looks like someone came off about 15 to 20 feet up. Some small branches about an inch or less in diameter. So 148, we're hearing very strange sounds out of the farmers burning our animals. Very, very active, making an awful lot of noise.
It wasn't a pigmentation.
You just saw a light where?
Right at this position here, straight ahead in between the trees. There it is again.
Watch.
Straight ahead off my flash right there. There it is.
Hey, I see it too. What is it?
We don't know, sir.
So can I get some of it? Yeah, it's a strange, small red light. Looks beyond maybe a quarter to half mile, maybe further out. I'm going to switch off. The light is gone now. It was approximately 120 degrees from the site. Is it back again?
Yes, sir.
Oh, down the flashlight set. It's now about to the edge of the clearing, so I can get a better look at it. See if you can get the star scope on it. The light's still there, and all the barnyard animals have gotten quiet now. Yeah, we're heading about 110 to 120 degrees from the site out through to the clearing now. Still getting a reading on the meter. About two clicks. Maybe count 3 to 4 ticks, getting stronger.
Now it's coming up. Hold up, there we go. It's about approximately 4 foot off the ground. Comfort test of 110 degrees.
All right, I just turned the meter off. Gotta say that again. About 4 feet off the ground, about 110 degrees, getting a reading of about 4 clicks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but
it's not dying.
I think it's something other than the ground. I think it's something that's something variable.
The tree right over.
We just found the first night bird we've seen. We're about 150 or 200 yards from the site. Everything else is just deathly calm. There is no doubt about it. There's some type of strange flashing red light ahead.
There's yellow.
I saw yellow tinge in it too. Weird. It appears that you may be moving a little bit this way. Yes, it's burning that house down.
Yellow.
It's coming this way.
Also,
it is definitely coming this way. Pieces of it are shooting off. There is no doubt about it. This is weird.
To the left.
Yeah, definitely
moving. Two lights. One light to the front, one light to the left.
Keep flashlights off. There's something very, very strange. Keep the headset on. See if it gets any stronger. Okay. Give us your window.
Notation that this is on a beta reading, too.
It's on a beta reading?
The beta
okay.
Still has been removed.
Okay. This is falling off it again.
But it just moved to the right.
Yeah.
Off to the right.
Strange. Well, you don't want to get left. Let's approach to the edge of the woods up there. Can you undo it without lights? Let's do it carefully. Come on. Okay, we're looking at the thing. We're probably about 200 to 300 yards away. It looks like an eye winking at you. It's still moving from side to side. And when you put the star scope on it, it sort of has a hollow center, a dark center. It's like a pupil of an eye looking at you and winking. And the flash is so bright to the star scope that it almost burns your eye. The farmer's house and across into the next field. Now we have multiple sightings of up to 5 lights with a similar shape and all, but they seem to be steady now rather than a pulsating or glow with a red flash. We just crossed the creek, and we're getting what kind of readings now? Getting 3 good clicks on the meter, and we're seeing strange lights in the sky. At 244, we're at the far side of the second farmer's field, and made sighting again about 110 degrees. This looks like it's clear out to the coast. It's right on the horizon. Moves about a bit and flashes from time to time. Still steady red encounter. Also, after negative readings in the center of the field, we're picking up the slight readings, 4 or 5 clicks now on the meter. 305, we see strange strobe-like flashes to the rather sporadic, but there's definitely something, some kind of phenomenon. 305, at about 10 degrees horizon directly north, we've got 2 strange objects, half moon shape, dancing about with colored lights on them. But guess to be about 5 to 10 miles out, maybe less. The half moons have now turned into full circles. As though there was an eclipse or something there for a minute or two. 315, now we've got an object about 10 degrees directly south, 10 degrees off the horizon. And the ones in the north are moving, one's moving away from us.
Moving out fast.
This one on the right heading away, too.
Yeah, we're both heading north.
Okay.
Hey, here he comes from the south. He's coming toward us now. Now we're observing what appears to be a beam coming down to the ground. This is unreal. 330, there's either 330, and the objects are still in the sky, although the one to the south looks like it's losing a little bit of altitude. We're turning around and heading back toward the base. The object to the south is still beaming down lights to the ground. 400 hours, one object still hovering over Woodbridge Base at about 5 to 10 degrees off the horizon, still moving erratic and similar lights and beaming down as earlier.
Now, listening to that, tell me those guys weren't scared to death.
Yeah, they sounded a little freaked out. And rightfully
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. But why? These are guys that are military trained. They're supposed to remain calm in any circumstance, and they are scared.
Yeah, that didn't sound calm.
Why would they be scared of some lights? No, there's more to this. That these guys were scared. There was something that was, they kept saying, this is strange. This is weird. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And these guys these are military men. They're taught not to speculate. They're highly trained, you know, military personnel. This isn't the Farmer Joe describing what he saw during the tornado. You know, these are trained military personnel. So for them to sound freaked out, I mean, if I was there as a civilian and I heard the tone in their voice, I'd be scared.
Yeah, I'm running for the hills.
I'm going to be scared. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. And
yeah,
I do
one of the things
to
look up.
Here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, because then
yeah,
I have
ahead.
A couple little things to add.
Okay, go ahead.
Then
we'll run the clip.
The other thing to look at is One Project Blue Book and Hangar 18 at Wright Patt, Air Force Base. Apparently, that's where another place where the government moved everything as far as UFOs, and it's buried underneath Hangar 18. I have known many people that have gone there, and they said, yeah, security's really, really tight there. And I was like, okay, what about all the other places in the on the base? And they were like, not nearly as tight.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But
so that's
where
that's
this,
one where of the
this
big
equipment or where this. So where this, yeah, where this supposed technology is stored.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a life or death. You come too close, you're going to get shot.
Yeah. You're going in. You're not coming out.
It happens.
I'm sure it does. So play the clip, and then I want to chime in. Just
how would we ever hear about it if they were?
If they were
killed, we'd never hear about it. We wouldn't.
No, they just went bye bye.
One of the many missing people that nobody knows where they went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'd like to chime in about the whole Travis Walton thing after you're done playing the clip.
Absolutely. Okay, this is a follow-up. Colonel Halt went back to the forest in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
He walked down the UFO trail that you mentioned, which is really strange that they would do that to me.
Yeah.
Why would they make a trail? I mean, that's weird to me. And especially funded by, what did you say, lottery winnings or lottery money?
Yeah, it was the excess lottery funds, which is usually
weird.
Something that goes to schools.
Weird. Right. I mean, but if you guys want to go look, just up on the internet, just type in even Britain's Roswell, and it'll bring up pictures of this trail that they created, and it's just strange. But Colonel Halt went back, as I said, in 2017, and he visited this area. And we're going to go ahead and give this a listen. It's short, but it gives you an idea that this guy still has his, you know, his ducks in a row and his crap together. And he still sticks to the same story he did back in 1980. We're going to give this a quick listen, and then we're going to let Ryan tell us about whatever he just said.
Travis Walton.
There we go.
On this trail, which was significantly improved now, it was a rutty, muddy dirt trail, we turned here in the Jeep, and we went up there about 150 or 200 yards, and there were two or three pickup trucks, six-passenger, four-wheel-drive pickup trucks with light-alls, and 10 or 15 cops there. We stopped there. That's when we looked into the forest, and they said, there's where the landing site was the first night. And we went in there. Now, you can't do that now because the forest is too thick. But in those days, it were tall Corsica pines with a tall canopy, and you could walk underneath very easily and see very clearly. In fact, from here, you could see back to the East Gate. Through here, and we've stopped somewhere back there at the site, and that's when we saw the object out here, and it came into the forest. It went through the trees, bobbing up and down, traveling primarily in a horizontal plane, but it would go up and down a bit. And we tried to get close. We came up toward the fence, the barbed wire fence up there, and it went back out into the field, and then it exploded silently into objects, white objects, and disappeared. So we went out into the field looking for any residue, because it was dripping something that looked like molten metal or sparks were coming off it. We find no evidence. That's when we saw the objects in the sky to the north, and then later the ones to the south that sent down a beam. Down there, we were down there about 100 yards looking at the farmer's house is over there. If you look at the bottom of the house, there's a big hedgerow was not there. There's a row of windows top and a row of windows bottom. When the object went out into the field, we could see it reflecting off the windows, top and bottom. In fact, so brightly, I was concerned about the people in the farmhouse. I mean, it looked like it was on fire. We watched it till it exploded. Then we went out into the field, and we went across the field, past the farmer's house, and across there's a road in front of his house, a small road, and some brush. And we wandered through a small stream, and everybody got wet, which discouraged us from staying out too much longer because it was cold and damp and windy. And went out in the field on the other side, and that's when we saw the objects in the sky to the south, and the object sent down the beam on us.
There you go. Now, listening to him, if you've done any studies into psychiatry or, you know, sociology, any of that, it's easy to tell when someone is telling the truth or when they're telling a lie.
He sounds,
in my opinion,
freaked out.
He sounds freaked out, but he sounds like he's telling the truth. He's recalling a memory.
Mm-hmm.
That was my take on it. Anyway, you wanted to go ahead, and you got some more
little
tidbits for us. I'm going to give you the floor.
Yeah, I've got two little objects as far as UFOs and then somewhat about my life. when I was a very young boy, my father was driving home. It was nighttime, and he stopped at the store to grab cigarettes or a Coke or something like that. And I just stayed in the car. And I went and I was at the corner of my old house, the one that you know back. And I looked up in the sky and I saw something moving. And it was like, okay, it was completely silent. It certainly wasn't a blimp. I know that. And it had some kind of odd lights on it. Everything was silent. There was no traffic. There was no noise. There was no anything. And it stopped. It was maybe 100 feet above the car. And then it just kept on going. And I was like, okay, that was not a helicopter, that's for sure. And then the other one was, and it, thank God my mom isn't listening. She'd kill me for telling this story. This
she
was
totally
before
would.
I was born.
I know you're wrong.
Yeah. She's not exactly a nice person at times. But she stopped.
Oh, lucky she's not listening.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it. Anyway, at Ford Road in Wyoming, right by the Ford Wyoming Drive-In Theater, she was driving home one night, and all of a sudden, she said the same thing. There was the I-94 is right there. There's nothing. It got eerily quiet, and all of a sudden, there's something that looked, I don't know, about the size of a good-sized house. And it was like, it was kind of silver, and it was just hovering there. And she got out of the car, and she went to go look at it. And she stood there for about 10 seconds, and all of a sudden, she said it took off like a bullet. And it was like, whoa. And it took her into my 20s for her to actually tell me that story. But, yeah, she actually saw it. She swears to this day that it happened.
I totally believe her.
Yeah. So anyway, Travis Walton. For those of you who are old enough to have seen it, or if you've just seen it, there was a movie called Fire in the Sky. And so it's a Travis Walton story. November 5th, 1975, he was part of a logging crew that was in the Apache Sit Greens Forest. It's a natural forest in Arizona. All of a sudden, a light came out of the sky. And Travis went out to check it out. And all of a sudden, he was gone. He was gone for 5 days. and the three guys out of the crew actually passed the lie detector test. One of them came up inconclusive, which I don't really, I couldn't find any stuff on that. 5 days later, he was found naked, walking into a diner, told us his story, and he still swears to it by this day. Even in his book and in the movie, he was played by D.B. Sweeney, if you guys need to look it up on IMDb or something like that. But that's probably one of the most famous ones. And it is, when you watch the scenes of him being abducted, it is horrifying. It is absolutely horrifying.
I've seen it.
Yep.
It is.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a rough one. So,
it is.
But that's,
I mean, they did not treat him well.
No, it doesn't sound like they treated him well at all. And his story also has never changed. It's like,
right. Which tells you something. But
so,
yeah, I mean, this is obviously going on worldwide. I mean, we've talked about on previous shows, you know, the UFOs in Russia. There's been sightings in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, anywhere that seems to have a more developed military. I mean, you don't hear about you don't hear about UFO sightings in France. At least I haven't. I could be wrong. If anybody wants to correct me and give me evidence that there have been UFO sightings in France, be happy to take a look at it. But based on the UFO research I've done, I've never found anything related to France. I know that there were some incidences in Canada, but again, that's close to the United States.
Hmm. Yeah, Hawaii doesn't seem like a big one.
No, I never really heard about UFO settings in Hawaii. But, you know, some of this seems to coincide with paranormal activity. I mean, the lights, you know, the strange noises. Is there a parallel between UFO activity and the paranormal, you know, the paranormal activity?
I mean,
are
you thinking like in something interdimensional by chance?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering that. That was always something I was curious about. There's been incidents of UFO activity pretty much everywhere. I mean, there's isolated areas, you know, where at least we're not hearing about it. Doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, and I was hoping tonight that we would get some callers in about, you know, their personal experiences. But, you know, we'll set up another show and hopefully get some people to come in and talk about personal experiences with UFO, you know, abductions, UFO abductees. I don't know if maybe they're afraid to talk to us, which is a possibility.
Possibly.
I mean, they do get a lot of slack for coming forth with their stories. But, you know, there are books written about, you know, people who have been taken. And it's always the same kind of experience, you know, taken, feeling paralyzed, being taken against their will, taken aboard what they assume is a spaceship, experimented on, brought back home. You know, people have gone to the doctor and had devices pulled out of them that medical, you know, science doesn't know what it is. They can't, you know, identify the components. The materials aren't, as they say, man-made. They're of unknown origin.
Mm.
So, you know, there's got to be something to this. There's got to be more to this. And, you know, why are they so curious about this? Why are they coming here? And you mentioned, you know, the Egyptian symbols on the ships. There's a theory, too, out there that they built the pyramids, that they've been watching since the very beginning. If not, we're a pet project. I mean, that's a possibility. You know,
yeah,
I always thought
of it as, like, okay, we're basically an ant farm for them.
Exactly. Exactly. How do we know we're not?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know this isn't an experiment?
Yeah.
I mean, there are cases. Yeah. There are people that have been put under hypnosis that have revealed what happened to them, you know, during an abduction. I mean, there are, you know, countless websites, support groups for UFO abduction. If this isn't a thing, I mean, all these people can't be experiencing the same thing, you know, and talking about it without there being some validity to it. I don't believe that anything that gets talked about isn't real, or it doesn't have some merit to it.
Yeah, it's got to have at least a kernel of truth when it comes to something
exactly.
going on.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
there are
yeah.
movie after movie about this. So what else you got? Because I know in that brand of yours you got more stuff.
Oh, geez.
I know how your brain works.
Well, you know what? To be honest, I found that the new X-Files is sort of really kind of digging a little deeper and a little more into it than the past. The past kind of got into it, you know, especially when it was an ongoing season. But now that they've got like this like 6-run episode, I've noticed little subtle like tidbits that they're throwing in, and I'm like, okay. Your average Joe isn't going to know anything about that stuff. And it was like,
right.
But it was just like a little hint. And I'm like, okay, they're either getting more into like something they may know, or just like, okay, they've delved way deeper than I ever did. And they were like, all right, we're just going to toss a little bit in there just for like the super geeks. And it's like, that was one thing that I was really picking up on. And I really
yeah.
did enjoy it because I was like, okay, that means that they're at least acknowledging it just a little bit. You know, whether it's you're just a super geek with a tinfoil hat, or if you're just like somebody, you know, like you or I that really enjoys, you know, looking into things like this, they're giving you just that little bit, but they're also making a fun story. So that was the one thing that I was
right.
really digging lately. Yeah,
yeah, I'm enjoying the new X-Files. I think they're throwing some things in there. And I think, I know there's a lot of people that don't like the new series, but I think they're throwing some stuff in there that they're going to, you know, kind of roll into the whole UFO phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah, in the way that the end of last season really pissed me off, but then all of a sudden this season it was like, okay, you guys are actually doing it right. So that was one thing that was really cool. That's one of the shows that's really, really big. Other than that, I've noticed that there's a lot of shows like on say cable TV that deal with not only the paranormal, but it might deal with extraterrestrial. And
uh-huh.
I don't know, I found them kind of cheesy, to be honest. And it was like, no,
yeah.
I mean, do your homework on stuff, and it's like, you know, don't feed into people's fears. Actually give them information. And that's the thing that I really
right.
enjoy, and that's what I'm hoping that we're trying to do tonight.
Absolutely. We're trying to give people another perspective, you know, on what's going on with the UFO phenomenon. Is it real? Are all these incidents tied together somehow? Are they preparing us?
Yeah, and the other thing is and the other thing is to make sure that the people that are actually watching, it's like, don't be afraid, you know, just do your homework, be educated, and, you know, everything will be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're trying to make us more, same thing as exposing anybody to, you know, a snake a bunch of times. If they're afraid of snakes,
mm-hmm.
eventually they're going to go, oh, okay, I'm not so afraid. Because I think, I don't know when, but I think soon the world's going to change. I think that the UFOs and the extraterrestrials are going to come and make themselves aware, make us aware of their existence, and it's going to change everything. And I think they're slowly but surely trying to plant that seed in our minds that things like this do exist, so we're not completely freaked out when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the first fiance, the one that I told you about, she woke up one day and she was freaked out, and I'm like, yeah, and she even said, she goes, I had a dream, and I'm like, what was your dream? And she's like, I had a dream that all of a sudden came down, and there they were, and she had a weird way of seeing the future. I don't know. It sounds bizarre, I know. But she could tell things that were going to happen. Yeah, premonitions. But thank you for the word. And she said, yeah, I don't know, I saw it. And I was like, huh.
Wow.
Okay. And I didn't really know to say it at the time. But it was like, after looking into all of these different things that you and I have been looking into and you've introduced me to and whatever, I kind of agree with you as far as, yeah, you know what, it's a slowly but surely thing, but it's going to show up.
It is. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we are about done for today. I hope everyone enjoyed the subject matter. If you have any questions, of course, you can contact us on the Paranormal Fringe page. Either I or Ryan will answer your questions. Be happy to follow up. If you'd like to be on a future show and talk about your experiences, we'd be more than happy to do that as well. We're always open to guests coming on and talking about their experiences about anything. So just reach out to us and let us know what you've been through, and realize you're going to come here and there's not going to be any judgment on the fringe. Everybody is as weird as we are. We're weird too. It's okay. Next week we're going to be diving into the Barney and Betty Hill incident, which is another UFO related topic, because I just kind of want to continue this vein of discussion. There's so much out there, and if anybody knows that Barney and Betty Hill were abducted in rural portion of New Hampshire between September, 19th to September 20th of 1961. And we're going to go ahead and talk about that next week. And again, we want to thank you guys for listening to The Fringe tonight. Please check in with us next week, and everybody have a really abnormal evening.
Thank you all. Much love.
Welcome to Paranormal Fringe, only on the Vibe Network. Every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Where normal becomes